When we start singing about His grace, unmerited favor, knowing that none of us deserve to be here, knowing that He's not holding anything against me that He should be, and knowing that He's been faithful. You know, He was faithful to see me in the condition I was in, to see you in the condition that you were in. He was faithful to be able to extend His love to me. And that's what has happened. At the moment that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and many of you have also, He extended His faithful hand to you. But it didn't stop there. He's been faithful to be there whenever I need Him. He's been faithful to make sure that I'm provided for, I'm protected. But He's going to continue to be faithful. So His faithfulness has no end. His faithfulness culminates at a time when we leave this earth. You know, He's faithful not to leave us here. How many people know that He's faithful not to leave us here? But that's hard for us to accept sometimes because we get sort of dug in here, don't we? We get comfortable being here. We're on the 30-year mortgage. We're on the extended payments because we feel like we're going to be here for a long time. Or maybe we're on them because we feel like we're not, and we figure, well, the bank can have it, right? But we get dug in thinking, this world is where I'm going to find my happiness, but this world has always been a temporary place. This world has always been a place that we're only going to be for a short while. So, how many people believe that the Lord is coming back? Is there anybody here that believes that Jesus is coming back? If you have your Bible today, stand up and hold your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Turn it around and show it to the person behind you, beside of you, and take this time just to wave at one another, greet one another with your Bible in your hand. It doesn't sound like you're greeting each other too well. Take this time to greet one another, wave to one another. We can't shake hands, so take this time to greet one another. Know who's around you. Good to see you, buddy. You may be seated, please. Turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be reading out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Right there together. The first thing that I want to read to you is what Paul told the church at Thessalonica. Now listen to this promise. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4. When you find your place, say, I have it. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, say that with me, if we what? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The coming of the Lord. Did you hear that? Now listen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What do you mean, comfort one another with these words? Well, maybe you've had a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad month. Maybe you've had a bad year. Maybe you've had a bad doctor's report. Maybe something isn't going right. Well, comfort one another. This is a temporary world. The Lord is coming back. He says, comfort one another with these words. But in context to how He was speaking to the church at Thessalonica, they were wondering about those who had died. They had been taught about Jesus coming back, but Paul was teaching them that when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a cataclysmic event that happens, an earth-shaking event that happens, something that's never been seen or witnessed before. Jesus Christ will appear in the sky, in the eastern sky, and His voice will call all those who have accepted and believed that He was the sacrifice for their sin. All those who have made Him their Savior, all those who have believed the truth in God. It says that the dead in Christ, those that might have died before that time, will be raised first. Then all of us will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. But the Bible says that we'll be changed. You see, this temporary body that we're living in, this temporary body is a body of flesh. It's a sinful body. If my body were to be called up with Jesus, understand, I'll speak for myself, not for you, but if I were to be called up into heaven right now, my body would defile heaven as soon as I got there. I have a sinful body, a sinful mind, a sinful nature. Understand, I've been covered by the blood, but I'm going to need a new resurrected body, one that has a mind of Christ, one that doesn't have this old flesh nature, so I'm given a new body. So he's talking about this, and the interesting thing is, in 2 Thessalonians, right after he had written this first letter, the second letter comes because these people in Thessalonica, they began to listen to some other people that were coming in, giving them some new information. It was false information. These people were coming in and teaching them false teaching. They actually had a letter that came to the church at Thessalonica that someone had said was from Paul, and it wasn't from Paul. Paul even speaks about it in there. He said, that letter wasn't from me. But here's what they were teaching them. They were teaching them that Jesus has already come, that he's not coming back. You missed it. Now, how many people have ever thought you missed the rapture? Any Christians out here ever thought you missed the rapture? Yeah, me too. Have you ever went to that place where you knew all your Christian brothers and sisters were supposed to be, and all of a sudden you realize I'm the only one here and I know I've got the time right, but Lord, hey, what happened here? But they were in serious dilemma in their mind. So listen, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And when he says the day of Christ is at hand, he's saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't be worried or concerned that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, listen, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Only he who letteth will now let until he's taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is not a verse that we read a lot, not a passage that we read a lot, but as much as I tried to look for God's direction, he continually led me back and led me back and led me back. You say, well, we've already read a lot of scripture. True, that's where the truth comes from, the scripture. What I want to tell you is Paul was telling them this very important amount of knowledge that we need to take and hold to ourselves. Because even as I ask you at the beginning, how many people believe the Lord is coming back? And you raised your hand. How many times this week have we stopped looking for him to come back, or it's been a thought that's way back in our mind? We've been consumed by what we think is happening that is going to affect the here and now. And we've forgotten the bigger picture, that this is temporary. How many people have fallen subject to your mind forgetting that Jesus was coming back, and you got so steeped in this world this week that it wasn't even a thought that he might come back? Anybody that it happened? It does. And so Paul was telling them, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. But he said, first of all, before it happens, there's going to be a falling away. And of course, we don't look at this scripture much because it gets a little deep. When I say deep, it's because we bring up a figure in scripture here that people don't want to talk about much. We bring up this man of sin, this man of lawlessness called the Antichrist. The Antichrist would be the opposite of Christ. He's described here in this passage, and the Bible says, in the words of Paul, Jesus can't return until he comes. So you might say, well, is Jesus not going to rapture us until the Antichrist comes? No, he's talking about his second coming, not the rapture. There's two different things. The rapture of the church is the catching away of the church. It's described to us in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. It tells us that there will be a day when the last soul has been saved that needs to be saved, when the last work has been done, when Jesus is sent from Father God back to this earth, and he will not touch the earth. So it's not actually a coming. He will appear in the clouds. And the Bible says that we shall be changed and we shall meet him. It says the corruptible, that means this corruptible body, shall put on incorruption, the mortal shall put on immortality. It says that we will have victory over death and victory over the grave. It says that we will never die again. It's a wonderful day, yet we fail to look at it because we get caught up in the world. We're consumed with being sick because we might die, and we forget that we've got victory over death. But that's the rapture of the church. The second coming happens afterwards. After this man of sin is revealed. You see, there's a couple of things I want you to pay close attention to. The Bible says that in that day, that there will be a time when people refuse to come to God. And here's what I want you to understand. This has always perplexed me. Maybe it has you. Knowing that when the rapture of Christ happens, the rapture of the church, anybody going in the rapture, let me know for sure. When the rapture of the church happens, and here's what I want you to understand, it's going to be such an event that you're talking about millions and millions of people who are blood-bought believers who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ are going to leave this earth. I'm talking about whether they're driving in cars, whether they're flying in airplanes, whether they're sitting in a restaurant. It's not going to be something that's unnoticed. It's going to be such an event. So what happens in my mind is I'm thinking to myself, how in the world, if this cataclysmic event happens, how in the world would everyone not run to Christ at that time? I mean, there are people that are sitting here that are not saved. There are people that will be listening to this that are not saved. There are people that have been to church before, heard the gospel, you've witnessed them before, they're not saved, and they know this is supposed to happen. So when it does happen, how in the world will their mind not immediately say, that's what I need to do. That must have been Jesus coming. The judgment of the world is coming. I'm going to run him. Have you ever thought, how in the world could they not do it? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. The Bible says that God is going to send them strong delusion. Strong delusion to where they will believe a lie. And it has an interesting verse here that we read in 2 Thessalonians. As Paul begins to tell the church, this can't happen until. It can't happen until. It can't happen until there comes a falling away. A falling away. Say it with me. So there has to be a falling away. A falling away from what? Here's what I want to tell you. You see, it's a falling away from the truth. And I've made sure that I've given you this account in two parts. One, the rapture of the church, which happens, and then the second coming of Christ. Because if you look at this scripture, you'll say, well, the Antichrist doesn't come until after the church is gone. So what do you mean a falling away? How do you mean a falling away from the truth? Well, you see, the truth is going out today. The truth is all around us. The truth is still here. But what I want you to know is the falling away doesn't just start at that time. The falling away has started. How many people believe that the falling away from the truth of God has started already? Now, shouldn't that make us be more attentive to the rapture of the church? If we really believed it, we would be more attentive, wouldn't we? But do you know how easy it is, even for us, in our mindset, to become part of the falling away? You know, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He saved you, He sealed you. You say, well, I can't fall away from Him, but you can fall away from the truth. You can fall out of the truth. How do people fall out of the truth? Well, you begin to reject the truth by what somebody else says that sounds good. You see, this is what happened to this church. They began to hear the teaching of someone else that they began to accept, and so they gradually began to reject what Paul had taught them before. You see, falling away happens when you begin to believe something that is not the truth. Can I share the truth with you? Can I take this time and share the truth with you? I want to begin by saying that this event has always been looked upon as something that people wanted to know when it was going to happen. When is Jesus coming back? Even the disciples in Matthew chapter 24 said, Lord, tell us the day. Let us know the day. And what did He say to them? He said, you can't know the day. No man can know the day. Not even the angels in heaven know the day. Only the Father knows the day. And then in Matthew 25, He gives them three parables that said, be ready for it. If I told you when it was going to happen, then you would wait till then and get yourself ready. So we're supposed to live ready for that day. Do you know why we're supposed to live ready for that day? So that we don't fall away. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to point my finger at anybody. I'll point it back at myself and you can point it at yourself. But I would say that in the way that we live and what we've accepted, the way that we've put things in front of God, whether it be our schedules, our income, our pleasures, we have, as a church, not this church, but as saved believers, we have begun to accept idealisms and ideology that have basically gone against what God has told us to do. How many people would agree with that? That in part is falling away from the truth. We can't look and say, well, that's those people that aren't saved. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, it said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning no self-control, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Are we living in a society like that today? And before we look and point at that society, don't do that. It's easy for us to judge. You know, when we judge somebody else, we don't see ourselves. I want to say, are we a part of a society like that today? Well, of course we are. We've seen the turn from God to the knowledge of man, the pleasures of man. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, right before this, Paul warns through Timothy again. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, a time will come. A time will come. What do you mean a time will come? He said, a time will come when people shall turn away their ears from the truth. This is 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Here's what I want you to understand today. A falling away doesn't happen when somebody just blatantly rejects and says, hey, I'm not going to follow God anymore. A falling away happens when people begin to gradually reject the truth of God and gradually reject how God tells us to live by the truth. And that doesn't start with the lost world, church. That starts with the church. That starts with how we are that light. We are that ambassador. We are going out explaining and living out that grace that He gave us, that faithfulness that He gave us. We look at this passage of Scripture sometimes and we say, well, yeah, all those who are not saved, they're a part of that falling away. Listen, I want to tell you, I don't want us to be part of that falling away. People don't fall away if they come to Him, if they continue to hear the Word. But if I look back on my life and I take these certain segments of my life, I am responsible for not doing what I needed to do in the lives of some people that were around me. And I'm partly responsible for their falling away, because I decided to do what I thought instead of what I should. I decided to go with my own truth instead of the truth of God. Now, I think it's interesting in that same book, Matthew chapter 24. And I want to reference this because it all ties together. And you say, well, this sounds more like a Bible study. Well, we are studying the Bible. Jesus says to His disciples after they ask Him this, He said, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? He answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these all must come to pass. Now listen, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. I know a lot of times people will say, well, I know Jesus is coming back because there's pestilence and He could come back any day because we've got this pandemic going on. And there's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in various places. Exactly. But I want you to understand something. He didn't say that was the time He was coming back. He said that was the beginning of sorrows. Sorrows here is translated labor pains. Any woman here ever been through labor pains? Have you? Recently, right? So as you go through labor pains, there's a great pain, right? More than a man could ever understand. No amen, one amen. More than a man could ever understand. But then the birth. After this, the birth. You see, the labor pain, the sorrow is the beginning. And what Jesus is talking about in these first verses here in Matthew 24 are the beginning. I want to tell you that we're living in the beginning. You said the beginning was back in Genesis. No, here's what I'm here to tell you. You have a part in the falling away. You have a part to be able to stop someone from falling away. You have a part to be able to represent the truth or to be a part of that falling away. You see, the world is going to send strong delusion. The world is going to accept strong delusion. Interesting here. We see all the predominant signs of Jesus coming back, but throughout the Scriptures I read to you in 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4, Matthew 24, the overwhelming predominant sign that Jesus is coming is there will be an overwhelming objection and rejection of the truth of God. There will be people that refuse to accept the love of God, the beginning of labor pains. If you reject the truth, what do you reject? Here's what you reject. This is what I know the truth is, according to the Scripture. The truth is that God created us and everything in this world, Genesis 1 and 2. The truth is that God loves us and He wants fellowship with us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that God sent Jesus to reconcile us to Him because He wants us to be with us. He wants fellowship with us. The next truth I know that God tells us is He wants us to love Him and He wants us to love each other. Matthew 22 says that we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the truth. The next truth that we know is that we're separated from God by our sin. We don't like to accept that truth, but the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Do you believe that? That's the truth. You have to believe that. That God is a holy and righteous God and that we are not. The Bible tells us that God made a way for us to come to Him. That's the truth. He said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. If you stay in your sin, it's eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Right? So that's the truth. The Bible tells us that He sent His Son Jesus to this earth to live as a man. We learn a truth in John chapter 1 that says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth." It tells us He sent His Son here, and He loved us through that Son so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you see the truths of what God's wanting to give us? This man Jesus, as a truth, never sinned. The Bible tells us that He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It tells us that the only way we could come to God was through a sinless man to accept His sacrifice. That's the truth. Have you believed all these truths so far? If you have, raise your hand. The Bible tells us if we accept and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and believe on Him and confess that we are that sinner, confess the truth that we have sinned, that God loves us, that we accept that love, that we shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be, say it with me, saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the truth. The Bible tells us that we're given the presence of Holy God living inside of us. The presence of Holy God is called Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, we are told that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and we believe all these truths, the truth is that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, the holy presence of God. Our soul at that moment becomes sealed by that Holy Spirit. Listen to this truth. And if we were to die in body at that time, listen and tell your kids to listen because they're going to have questions about this. If you were to die at that time after you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, do you know that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, that same chapter 5, what happens? The Bible tells us that when our soul becomes absent with the body and we're saved, it is present with the Lord. So the truth is, if you were to die in your flesh, here's what would happen. What would happen? Well, then your body would stop and drop wherever it is, and that would be sad. But your body has always been temporary, and that's the truth. Now, the truth is, even though your body is temporary, it would stop and drop. Your soul is eternal. Your soul would go to where it's sealed. To be absent with the body is present with the Lord. So your soul would leave you and it would be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those that are alive and remain that are Christian, the Bible tells us that if you continue to live until Jesus comes back, then the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It tells us at the same time that He resurrects the others, that we will be resurrected. Now get this, here's the truth. If you've died after you're saved, you're going to be with the Lord. Your soul's going to be with the Lord. Then when Jesus comes back, your soul, which is already with the Lord, is going to be joined with your body. You say, where's your body? My body died here on this earth. Right. But listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. The mortal shall put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up in victory. So what do we learn here? We learn the truth. We learn the truth that our body is always temporary. Everything going on down here is temporary. If we die before Jesus comes back, our soul goes to be with the Lord. Our body goes to be in the cemetery. But when the Lord comes back, those who are alive, they are called up together to be with God, and they're changed. Their soul and their body are going to be with Jesus, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. But the ones that have died, their resurrected, glorified body is going to join their soul, and so shall we be with the Lord. This cataclysmic event that happens is called the rapture of the church, the snatching away of the church. Well, why does he do that? Because the Bible says those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ since Jesus came, we're called the church, but we're also called the bride of Christ. And he takes his bride out of this world for this time that lasts 7 years called the Great Tribulation. And you see, it's during this Great Tribulation that this falling away is talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where this Antichrist comes. Can you imagine that someone would come on the scene and say, you need to worship me, and be able to mandate that you have to, be able to mandate that you can't worship God, be able to mandate that you have to have a mark in your forehead to buy, sell, or trade, be able to institute that we all need to come together because he is not a ruler of the United States. He's not a ruler of England. He's not a ruler of this certain country. He is a global leader. So in order for him to rule, he would need to have a one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religion. Well, how in the world could that get set up unless there was a mass falling away? I'm here to tell you, the falling away has started. And you say, well, I didn't really want to come here today to hear something of gloom. Well, then it's your perspective. I'm not preaching you something of gloom. I'm saying Jesus is coming back to get us. I'm saying the signs of the time are here, and I don't want to be part of the falling away. I need to be on my horse. I need to be ready to go. I need to be taking the truth. I need to be shining the light. You need to be shining the light. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And if I believe it, I'm going to live like I believe it. But if I get steeped in this world, I'm going to forget it, and I'm going to start living in the temporary, and that's what's happened. Whatever can help me the most in my economics, whatever that can help me the most in my pleasure, we're part of the falling away. This is a wake-up call that he's giving this church at Thessalonica. He said these things can't happen unless there's a falling away. How in the world could people get to a mindset to where they would reject the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to try to explain, and I've tried to explain in simple form, and I hope it's worked. But we've separated these two times, the time of the rapture of the church, which can happen when? When can the rapture happen? It can happen right now. It can happen next week. The ones that wrote the scripture thought it was going to happen 2,000 years ago. But if you go over to 2 Peter, you'll read, as he's talking about scoffers come and say, well, hey, when is the coming of the Lord? The Lord aptly tells them, with your little mind, you can't even imagine. 1,000 years of your life is like one day with me. It's only been 2 days. It's almost like that statement he gave Job. Man in his intellect stands in front of God and tries to question, and God says, Job, where were you when I hung the earth on its axis? Where were you when I told the seas where to come? Where were you? Well, if he said it to Job, he said it to me. What I want you to see is that after the rapture of the church, there will be a 7-year period of time. We go back to the book of Daniel. We're able to see this. We trace it all the way through the book of Revelation. But we're also able to see that during the 7-year period of time, and you hear this 7-year period of time talked about from the book of Revelation chapter 6 to the book of 19, to the chapter 19. You hear all the details. You hear Daniel describe the time and a half times, so that we know that 7 years. We know that 3.5 years of this tribulation. At that point, this man of sin, this Antichrist, is going to come on the scene. Where are we going to be at? Revelation 4 and 5. If you're a Christian, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be around the throne. That's something to praise God about. But it's a time of great tribulation. And during this tribulation, here's what I couldn't imagine. I can't imagine if you've watched the cataclysmic event of the rapture happen, why would you not fall on your knees right then and say, God, I get it. And he tells us because of delusion. This one word, God's going to send them strong delusion. I want to talk about this a minute. You see, during these 7 years of tribulation that happened on this earth, and I don't want anybody to go through that. I don't wish that upon anybody. As a matter of fact, my job, my mission in this world is to make sure that anybody that I meet knows that they don't have to go through that. But some will. And you know, some will out of ignorance. There will be some that know about it. It's not that they were terrible people, but they refused to come to God through the only way that they can come to God, which is through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Get this. There are people who are sitting in churches who believe that if my name is on this roll, then I'm going to heaven. There are people who are living a life saying, I believe in God and I'm trying to do good, and so I'm going to heaven. There are people who are misled to believe that if they come and go through the procedures of the church and they pass a class that says, hey, listen, you're good to go, and the church has absolutely signed your certificate and confirmed you just because you could repeat the answers, that you're going to heaven. The Bible says there has to be an acceptance of the truth where you accept it in your heart. You have to come to salvation knowledge through Jesus Christ. It doesn't depend on your works. It doesn't depend on anything that you've done except a time that you've come and accepted Jesus as your Savior. Those people will be here after the rapture happens. They thought they were saved. Scary thought. Lord, Lord, have we not done this? And didn't we do this right? I never knew you. Hardest 4 words written in the Bible. I never knew you. You say, are you saying that to scare us? Absolutely not. I'm saying it to motivate you. Why? Because if not, we'll stop looking for the Lord to come back and we'll be part of the falling away. We'll be part of the delusion. I think it's pretty amazing that he gives us this dialogue here in 2 Thessalonians 2 that tells us that, hey, this falling away, when this Antichrist appears, it's going to happen because, as he says in verse 11, it's going to happen because people believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I wonder if the church, us saved believers, have we begun to accept the pleasure of unrighteousness over the truth of the word? You know, we want to. Our bodies want to. Let's be honest. Don't we want to accept the pleasure of unrighteousness? Doesn't sin feel good? Oh, come on, you pious, high, and mighty. Doesn't sin feel good? Absolutely. Because it's a flesh fulfillment. So, It's almost like if you told us what we want to hear and it goes along with us, we'd be more apt to accept it. Well, doesn't that go back to what Paul was telling Timothy? In these last days, people will turn to people who are saying what they want to say. Itching ears. Scratch it, please. Tell me what makes it feel better. Tell me what goes along with what I want to think. Don't tell me that the truth of God's word says that I need to separate myself, that I need to be faithful to this degree. Don't tell me that. Let me be able to pick God up and put him down when I want to. Let me be able to say I love him. Let me be able to sing praise to him but not read about him. Let me be able not to have a prayer life. Let me be able to do all these things that anybody that doesn't profess God is doing, but still I've got God. Wouldn't that be a more popular message? Well, that is a message that's out there today. And those same people that accepted that truth have accepted error. And I don't know, you might be one of those people. You shouldn't leave the service today still being one of those people. What I want you to understand is this huge word in chapter 4. And I know as I ran it through my mind all these years thinking, how could anybody not cry out to God and get saved after they see the rapture, right? This word delusion, I began to study it. Delusion, according to Webster, by definition, is a false opinion or an idea. A delusion is a belief or an impression that's firmly maintained despite being contradicted by what's generally accepted as reality or rational. Have you ever said that person's delusional? I mean, you can see something right in front of you, they're believing something else, right? The act of delusion is the act of deluding, decepting, or misleading of the mind. To delude is to cause someone to believe wrongly by blinding them to the truth. The Bible says that God will send strong delusion. So does this mean that it's God that's going to institute a lie for them to believe? Absolutely not. Understand what it's saying. What God does is to issue the punishment to all those who have rejected the truth by letting them believe what they want to. You see, the delusion is he's going to remove that sense of conviction that was keeping them from rejecting that truth. You see, our delusion in this life is what the devil, well, that's his main goal. He wants to delude our thoughts. He wants us to think something that's not actually there. I see it happen all the time, and I don't think that I would have ever seen it this clear, but I see it happen. I see people leave fellowship with God, even Christians, in a deluded state. They reach a certain age. They're young people that are involved in youth programs. They learn about the Lord. They're singing about the Lord. They love the Lord, and then all of a sudden, they reach a certain age, and the world tells them that they need to go out and experience the world. It's a lie that they want to accept. It didn't come from God, but it says that it doesn't matter how you live as far as sexual impurity. It doesn't matter what you accept as far as biblical truth. You need to enjoy the pleasures of this world. So they go against that voice and start accepting a voice that they really want to hear, and they're deluded. It's a delusion. And so they fall away from fellowship with God. Have you ever seen it happen? Has it ever happened to you? I speak with husbands and wife where the devil has been in that marriage deluding them. They have been through these things together. They have loved together. They fell in love together. They became one flesh. They pledged their heart to each other. They've been through trials with each other. They've been through different kinds of challenges with each other. And then all of a sudden, the thought comes in that's a deluding thought, and it's put there by the devil, that the person they see standing right in front of them, who's always been standing right in front of them, who is never perfect because none of us are, all of a sudden, that person is not the person they want to be with anymore. Can I tell you something? If God ordains your marriage, he's never going to tell you that person that he puts you with is not the person you need to be with. If that person is a believer, it doesn't mean they're perfect, but that person is a believer. Didn't you know that God tells you that He is the one that will work in between you? But someone's mind gets overtaken, and he uses all kind of tools to do it. All kind of tools. I see it happen on a regular basis, and I never thought, you know, what a vehicle. We're blessed. We're blessed that in these past weeks we were able to have church by ways of technology, weren't we? We were able to live stream. What a blessing. But the devil will use any venue he's got. And he uses technology. There are so many people that start a fantasaical relationship with somebody through the means of the internet or Facebook or some kind of technology. And it's almost as if it's a fantasy. It's not really happening. But something in their mind convinces them to leave that person that they've raised kids with, that they've shared burdens with, that they've done these things, that they're convinced to leave it for this person that they happen to know back in high school. They've never suffered with this person, paid bills with this person, but all of a sudden, hey, this person, it overwhelms their mind and they become deluded. And you watch this delusion happen, and I'll have them sit in front of me and explain how rational and reasonable it is. Why? In their mind, they've accepted it as truth. Well, I hope I didn't step on anybody's toes. What I'm trying to tell you is how delusion works. Not just being deluded away from God, but in our everyday life. You see, it's important for us to know this because the Bible says God will send him strong delusion. It means that God will take away. He will let the lie of Satan go out and remove the conviction of truth that's been opposing the lie. And the Antichrist will come up with a message of Satan. And what is that message? It's always been Satan's message. Worship me. Worship me. Worship me. You say, I would never worship Satan. Well, I would say that too. Most people would say that. But Satan's not the picture of who you think he is. You see, he just needs us to fall away. He needs us to be allegiant to him and what he's doing instead of to God. And do you realize we can be part of the falling away if we're not careful? The Bible says the reason for this is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. It's this simple. He says, with all deceivable unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Listen how simple this message is. Why would anybody be condemned? Because they refuse the truth of God's love. Do you remember me sharing the truth of God's love a minute ago? That's how simple it is. When somebody refuses the truth of his love and accepts something else as truth, it's interesting, the word delusion in Greek is called plane, which means to wander away. It's where we get our word planet from. Delusion is basically to wander away from the truth. But this delusion is not a new thing. The Bible tells us in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 2, for this mystery of iniquity, it already works. It's already at work. It's already started. And then as I began to look at this, and I couldn't get my mind off of it, I began to think, you know, I think I've never been more in tune with delusion than I have in these recent months, than I have with what I see going on. Of course, I know the delusion that's happened to me personally, where God will try to convince my, or the devil will try to convince me that I don't really need to do this the way God said, or this would really feel better. Or, hey, listen, I don't need to be that faithful. You've been there too, right? But you see, he's talking about this overall delusion. Now, could you have ever imagined in the past 3 months that we would be so desperate to find an answer to the problem that we've been going through in this pandemic, that we would be glued to a screen waiting for the latest expert to come on and tell us what the answer was? Who would have thought we would have been that desperate? We were ready to accept whatever it was that would fix the problem, right? And so here's what we did. We turned to whoever called themselves an expert. And at this time, don't start judging me and saying, oh, well, you're not believing this is going on. No, I believe it's going on. I want to talk to you about the reality of how we handle it. The reality of how we handle it is we wait for the next expert to come on. And that expert will say, everything here is based on science and data. Can I explain to you that science is the study, the expository study of something by observation? It depends on who's studying it, who's observing it, and who's reporting it. So we've been told by leaders, this is what we need to do. But then we've been told again, no, it's not this and it's not this. Now, I'm not questioning. This is not a debate about what we should have done. It's being able to show you how freely we were able to follow this latest voice. You get what I'm saying here? Now, how did you know that voice was not just something that you wanted to hear? Because there's been voices that have said both things, right? And of all the leaders that have said, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, and this is the truth of how it's going to work, I haven't seen one governmental leader stand up and say, the truth is that we need to humbly go before God Almighty and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways and cry out to Him and ask for forgiveness for leaving Him alone and ask Him to take this plague. Has that been in any mandate that was offered? Do you know why? Because there has been a falling away. There was a time back in our country where they would have called on that. Do you realize there was a time even that Webster, who was a congressman and a senator and a secretary of state, right? American history teacher? He said, hey, we need to put something out here that says before you can do this, then you need to be a Christian. There was a time when we put God first and we said we'll turn to Him. That hasn't been the case. So no matter how we want to paint it, we're in a position right now of falling away. And you take the latest issue that we're going through, we've been turned upside down in the last week and a half by racial unrest. You can't turn on the TV. They stopped COVID-19. Now they're going to start reporting on this and it's going to be all over and everybody's going to have an opinion and you're going to be on this side or be on this side and people are protesting and people are saying this is unfair. Do you know that God gives us the clear answer? God said, love one another the way I've loved you. He said, go out and show love. Do you realize no matter what group it is, people are never going to get together unless they get together and are unified in God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Man's mind is going to keep thinking what he thinks until it's unified in Christ. The answer is not a new program. The answer is not a new system. The answer is not this, it's not that. The answer is the same way the answer's always been. The answer is Jesus Christ, and a person changes them. It teaches them to love sacrificially. It teaches them to forgive. It teaches them these things. That's not a natural thing we have. What it is a delusion because this side's getting fed and this side's getting fed and we walk out of our house and say, this is what we ought to do. What we ought to do is get on our knees before a holy and righteous God and ask Him for forgiveness for accepting a delusion that's been sent to us. We can't be part of the falling away. Church, we have to stand. We have to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? This is all temporary. And there's going to be problems in the temporary. And you're going to be tempted to be deluded. You're not above it. I'm not above it. As soon as something comes out that you like hearing, you're apt to follow it. Then how? How do you keep from doing that? Well, here's what he told Timothy in that third chapter we talk about. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Why? Well, you see, it's the last days. It's not the last days to scare you. It's the last days to motivate you. Let's get busy. What do we need to get busy? We need to get busy being able to represent the truth. We need to get busy in the truth. We need to get busy being able to stand for the truth. You see, falling away is not political. Falling away is spiritual. Falling away is not accepting the truth. On that day, which I think is unthinkable how someone cannot accept the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not going to be a thought in their mind of accepting Him. There's going to be every thought of giving allegiance to the Antichrist. Now, I'm not going to be here. If you're saved, you're not. But it doesn't start then, it starts now. You understand what I'm saying? Falling away doesn't start then, it starts now. He said there'll be a great falling away. That just means that he's removing the presence of the church with the Holy Spirit, that voice that stands against all this, he's removing it. But during this time, as the falling away starts, where's our voice? Where's the voice in your marriage? Where's the voice as a parent? Where's the voice in your friend group? Are you a voice of truth? Are you a voice that takes a side? This side is coming from somebody else. There's no sides with God. There's His side, and there's the wrong side. I've been on the wrong side. As a Christian, there's no peace on the wrong side. How many people want to be on God's side? You have a choice in who's affected by this falling away. You have a voice. You're not here for it by mistake today. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're part of the answer. But you're not part of the answer if you've become that person who has begun to accept the delusion that this world is everything that you need to find pleasure in, that it's going to last forever, that your happiness depends on your economic prosperity, that your happiness depends on the pleasure that you have, that you need to go and do, and you need to put yourself above other people, and you need to cast judgment on people. You're not representing the light. I've been there before. I know how easy it is to get to that point, to choose a side. Choose God's side. Amen? Amen. How easy has it been? Let me ask you, how easy has it been in these last weeks, months, to have an opinion? Anybody? What person in your leadership, I'm not talking about in church leadership, but in your leadership, has geared you to say, we need to give this to God totally and completely? That's the cure. Who have you heard? Then I would say we're in a position of falling. That shouldn't scare you. It should motivate you. Father God, I love You and I praise You. I pray, God, if there's someone here that's never accepted Your Son Jesus as Savior, I pray, God, that You would just let their heart be open right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to talk to you just a second. You're here today and you heard this message. This message, I shared the truth with you, the truth of God's Word. It's not my truth, it's His truth. The truth is God loves you. He wants fellowship with you. You're a sinner and He's a sinless God. He made a way for you to come to Him. He sent Himself to this earth, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for your sins, even though He didn't have to. He loves you that much. The truth is that you have to come to a point of admitting you're a sinner and accept that sacrifice and ask Jesus to forgive your sins. It's not a point of you just being good or doing good things. It's not a point of you going through or passing a class or taking a test or somebody pronouncing you Christian. It's between you and God. But it's not something you want to make a mistake about. You want to know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. You say, how can I know that? God tells you there's a peace that'll come over you when you truly, truly accept the truth. I've given you the truth. I want to pray for you today. And I'm going to ask you, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're unsure. when that rapture happens, whether you're going, because you see, you need to be confident. If you're unsure, with every head bowed, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, speak so loudly to those that are unsure. God's going to listen to your prayer at this time. Your prayer is based on your belief. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you pray this prayer to Him and you pray it in your words. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know You love me. I believe You died for me to bring me to God. I accept Your sacrifice. Use Your blood to cover my sins, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart and save me, and I'll live for You. If you pray that prayer today, the Lord Jesus Christ will come into your heart and the angels in heaven will be rejoicing. And you come and see me afterwards if you prayed that prayer, because, you know, God tells you that after you're saved, He wants to instruct you. He wants to love on you that much more. But Christian, you're out here today. Tell me how easy it is to fall away in a world that's falling away. You know, you have to be intentional. If you can see the world is falling away and you don't want to be a part of it, you want help, God, give me strength not to fall away, or maybe I have, but I recognize it today and I don't want to be part of that, would you please slip up your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over the place. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, I thank You for each person, Lord, that wants to, Lord, be part of the truth campaign that You have. Give them strength to stand. Give them strength, Lord, to be able to represent You, to keep others from falling away. We know, God, the delusion that's out there. Lord, we pray that You would use us, Lord, to bring others to You as the falling away has started, knowing, God, that You can come at any time. I pray this, Lord. I pray this strength over them. Listen to their prayer as they pray. Now You use this time and You pray.